Smashing the Three, Hour 3 of the show. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf here. Football fix as well. All sorts of things going on here in the third hour of the show.
Yeah, it's just getting crazy.
What a fun week.
Yeah, it has been. Flew by.
And we just found donuts in the newsroom.
Yeah, it's always great when you find
what?
Treasure. Yes.
And Cody just realized
Bear,
we found
don't
donuts
you leave don't
newsroom.
You leave them behind that glass right now.
We can do this. Go ahead. You've
There's
got
donuts
10 seconds. There's not a lot of good ones left though, so time is running out.
Yeah, we picked the two best ones, but you can go ahead and have the rest.
It's like an apple fritter or something. I don't know. Do people still eat those? No.
Was a cruller? A chocolate cruller?
There is one of those. There was something chocolate over there.
Yeah, it was. I was scared.
It's probably going to be gone.
I can't spell cruller, so I'm not going to try it.
Anything you can't spell, you probably shouldn't.
No, definitely shouldn't. I'll be right back.
Music just stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get into the football fix. I love this story.
It's so great.
So, we talked earlier this week about Madden ratings and how much they mean to
a lot of people.
Pretty much everybody, right? And then we found your Madden ratings.
Yeah.
And you claimed you didn't care, but you somehow guessed right on
guessed
what your number
exactly
was.
Well, I went with the year of my birth. I mean,
that's not how they do Madden ratings, though.
That's not, but apparently, I mean, I think that's how they did that circa like 2010.
Oh, okay. So then.
What year was he born? Let's give him that number.
Just give him that. He's not offensive lineman. We don't know how to measure what he's doing, so we'll just give him that.
He plays games, we know, and that's about the only measurable stat we have.
And then Lorenzo Alexander called in and knew his Madden rating for this year.
Yeah, he did.
Although he took it as motivation. Leonard Fournette is not taking his as motivation. So Fournette had a really good rookie year.
Yeah, he did.
And his overall rating, I want to make sure I have it right because I don't want him to randomly show up here, is 87. I don't know. I don't see it in the story anymore, but it was 87. I didn't imagine that. Which 87 is not bad.
No, that's a solid rating.
Coming off your rookie season.
Coming off your rookie season, and pretty much you were one-dimensional. And I'm sure they took into account that Cardinals game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
Forgot about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's there.
That's how you didn't get a 90.
Yeah, he would have been like a 90 or 91 if it wasn't for that Cardinals game.
Yeah.
So there was a video out there. It was great, too. Somebody just happened to capture the moment when somebody in the locker room told him what his rating was, and his reaction was somewhere between disbelief and disgust.
Yeah.
But as the story has evolved now, basically he went back and forth with EA Sports, and he finally just said, take me out of your game. Like, he doesn't even want to be in the game.
He doesn't even want to be. Yeah. That was that one. And then, well, also Buda Baker's reaction, too.
Yeah, but.
He wasn't excited about his rating either.
No, how many players really are, I think whoever has the highest rating, Aaron Donald is probably
Tom Brady
excited.
Is content with his Madden
rating.
I'm
not even sure Tom Brady knows what Madden is.
I mean, he knows what it is. I mean, he definitely played it. I don't think he cares necessarily.
What do you think Tom
He's been
Tom
on
Brady,
the cover.
What do you think he does for fun? Like, I think he just eats avocados.
Well, and juking out his son in the backyard while dressed in shoulder pads and helmets.
That was pretty classic, great footage.
And also, you know, the weird documentary of him. Actually kissing his son. Anyways, moving on. Antonio Brown's happy with his rating as well.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Antonio Brown always looks happy.
Yeah, he never frowns. He caught the Hines Ward syndrome. Like Hines, I've never seen Hines not smiling.
And you would know because you played alongside him.
I played alongside with him. And the fact that Antonio was mentored under Hines. So, I mean, I think it's just kind of just trickled down. There has to be a smiling Steeler.
So maybe
he took that moniker.
That's day one of class. If you're going to be like Hines Ward, or if you're going to be the number one receiver for the
Steelers. Smile all the time.
Smile all the time.
So brush your teeth, please.
Did not really work for Martavis Bryant.
He didn't smile a lot.
That's the reason why
he's not there.
You know, I saw Antonio Brown, I think, on Conan once, because you brought up the brush your teeth thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he flosses like 12 times a day. So maybe that's why he smiles.
Yeah, I'd show that off, too.
So.
Anywho, how did we get
the perfect way to segue into Shelby Miller?
Yeah. Before we talk about Shelby Miller, how fast did Bear get a donut?
He already ate it. When did you
eat
it?
That is amazing.
I don't mess around.
No, he doesn't. Wow, that was slick.
Do not stand between Bear and a donut.
No.
So that reaction was genuine and honest when we said we found donuts and you just yelled, what? Like the angriest person in this building.
Exactly. Is it a bear claw?
Ooh. That would have been good, but no. In that little amount of time, I went over there, sorted through both boxes, and found one that I liked. Just
wow.
So you know.
And we just beautiful. Noticed. That's, wow.
Well, because we're trying to do this radio show
that is
reason.
True. That is true.
Shelby Miller on the DL. Clay Buchholz not back yet. Matt Cook actually pitched last night for an inning in relief.
Yeah.
It was good to see him again. I mean, I would assume.
I didn't think we were going to see him.
Without knowing the timeline for them making a trade, because they don't know the timeline yet, because it's, you have to.
I mean, they have less than 2 weeks.
Okay.
That helps.
Thanks. It does help a little bit. But you're sort of reliant on other teams being complicit in the trade. So
trading.
Without knowing who you're going to get or when you're going to get him, I'm trying to pull up how the rotation would look coming out of the All-Star break. I'm going to assume Corbin's not pitching at all in that game. I know that they said he. I know Lovello said
yeah,
he's available.
I don't think that. I mean, and I would definitely not push for it. I mean, you have to say that for media and publicity purposes.
Do you? Because I mean, the Cubs basically said John Lester's not pitching, and that's why Zach Greinke's going.
Yeah, but you still want the guys to go.
Yeah, okay.
And represent. I mean, you know, run out when they do the player announcements and everything. And show that your team's represented.
So it went Ray last night, Godley tonight, Greinke tomorrow, and then Corbin final game before the All-Star break. And then what did that ends up being Sunday, and then they don't play again until a week from today. So that extended break, remember it used to just be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
The extended break will certainly help teams like the Diamondbacks more than most. I mean, at that point, you can reset your rotation, really. You can go out there with anybody you want in that first game.
Yeah, yeah, and you can, and your bullpen will be rested,
so
you don't have to worry about any crazy things like happened after the Padres and then going into this Rocky series as far as being stressed.
I'm kind of looking at the 24th, so that's a couple Tuesdays from now, as the next time that fifth spot in the rotation is going to have to pitch. It's not going to be Shelby Miller, I would assume. I mean, he's not just because he's on the DL, but from what we saw and heard on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
I guess Buchholz feasibly could be back by then. Maybe you go with Cook, or maybe you've made a trade. I mean, that's exactly 1 week before the trade deadline. So I'm sure they're gonna push that fifth starter spot back as far as they can, and this is where they can get a little creative. It's possible you get more creative. I'm just doing this on the fly. I know Lovello, with all the charts he has and how he plans out his lineup 2 weeks in advance.
He already knows what we're saying right now. And actually what we're going to say on Monday.
He could play back the fourth hour of this show if he was so inclined.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't even know. It hasn't happened yet.
I mean, he has a time machine.
So that's probably the date to target. They're going to trade for somebody.
Yeah.
Definitely bullpen help, and I would think they're going to go after a starter. Tim Kirkchen earlier this week mentioned J.A. Happ. We've seen the Diamondbacks and a couple teams loosely linked to Michael Fulmer of the Detroit Tigers. I mean, if I'm the Diamondbacks, I'm definitely going back to the Tigers first when trying to make a trade. This was Derek Hall with us yesterday talking about how aggressive he's going to be.
You know, I think what we have to do is look around and see if what is out there is better than what we already have. And I think in most cases, we're actually, you know, going to say no. I mean, looking at this team, the way it was built and constructed, the success that we've had this year, my hat goes off to our baseball operations group, because we've won with that pitching, and we just have to keep them healthy. You know, we're going to be active. We're going to be talking. I know, you know, our guys have spoken to over 20 clubs already each and every day, looking at ways to improve not only our pitching, but our offense as well. But you could say that really about every contending team. I mean, that's the difficulty around the trade deadline, is every team's trying to get better, especially bolstering their rotation.
That's the question. Who's going to be available? You and I got into this a little bit yesterday. You're not finding a number two or a number three starter. We talked to Bob Nightingale. You can read a lot of the speculation on which pitchers are going to be out there. They all sort of say don't expect Noah Syndergaard or Jacob deGrom, who are guys the Diamondbacks probably couldn't pull off a trade for anyway, so maybe it's better if they just stay with the Mets instead of going to the Dodgers or whoever. But you know, those are impact players that you bring in at that position, and you say, you know what, we got Jacob deGrom. Yeah, he is starting over Patrick Corbin in game two or whatever. He might even start over Zach Greinke in game one if you're in the playoffs. But if it's a guy like J.A. Happ, you're at the end of the rotation. Sorry. That's the way this works.
The only way you move up is due to injury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. So, and in this position right now, you look at what they have, if healthy, it's pretty good. So you just need some depth. You just need that fifth, sixth starter. And then, you know, bullpen, it's like, hey, no, we need some bullpen help. We see what happens when we get stretched thin in the bullpen, and it's not good.
Yeah. Next Saturday, July 21st, the D-backs will be giving away Jake Lamb bobbleheads to the first 20,000 fans through the gates as they take on the Rockies. Visit dbacks.com for more info and to purchase tickets. Up next, do the D-backs need a player like Manny Machado to make the playoffs, and is the front office willing to go all in to get him? Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Welcome back to the show. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf. Keeping it on the topic of the Diamondbacks here. Arizona, 3 runs total in the last 2 games against Colorado. You're not going to make a trade off of 2 games, obviously, but they were linked to Manny Machado before that. I don't remember it being like this in recent years for almost anybody. I mean, the way this has played out with Machado already shows you how ridiculous it was that the Diamondbacks were able to just go to Detroit last year and say, we want J.D. Martinez and we're not giving you anything. And Detroit was like, okay, that sounds awesome. I mean, that's absurd that they were able to pull that trade off, which it was highlighted by the fact that he came in and was dominant, obviously. But it's even more highlighted, I think, by the fact that every 2 hours there's a different Manny Machado rumor. And J.D. Martinez, prior to that trade last year, was not as good as Manny Machado. I get that. But there was no talk, it felt like, of J.D. going anywhere last year other than the Diamondbacks. They just stepped in and got him, and they already had him, I think, at this point. This was right around when they traded for him.
Yeah, it was right before the break. So, you know, yeah, this one definitely a lot tougher and a lot more, I'm not going to say unattainable, but it's unforeseeable.
Well, it's if he ends up being unattainable, it's because all these other teams are involved. Look, okay, this is 6 headlines from the same website. Are you ready? They're just all right in a row.
Okay.
Report: Orioles have no problem trading Machado within division. Okay, so that you figure. Okay, well, okay, Red Sox and the Yankees. I mean, obviously the Rays aren't making a trade. Then report: Yankees made strong offer to Manny Machado. Another one: Machado likes Instagram. Oh, yeah, this was great. Did you see this? There's I don't know who put the photo up, but it was a photo of him with a Yankees uniform on, like he was playing for the Yankees, and he liked it on Instagram, which is basically a binding contract.
Don't you think we read way too much into that stuff, what people like on Instagram and comments and stuff?
I mean, it comes a point where I actually just hit like for like 7 in a row. I'm saying, you know what, I'm just going to like the next 7 pictures I see.
Oh, wow.
I do that.
You're like the opposite of me. I don't even think I've liked anything in like 5 months on Instagram.
Have you gone on Instagram in the last 5 months?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just a stalker now.
Well, I'll like everything I see. I'll be like you and just like advertisements.
Just like 5 in a row. Just try
5 random.
Yeah. Just an exercise.
People read too much into it. I'm reading into it with Manny Machado.
I know you are, but that's how easy it could be. Like, I'll just like whatever somebody sent to me.
But then somebody else is like, what are you liking that for if you're not liking this? So once you start liking, you can't stop.
Does everybody on Instagram that you follow actually have your phone number?
That's a good point.
Exactly.
I could just change it.
Doesn't matter.
All right. I don't know what this had to do with Manny Machado, but
this had nothing to do with it. We got off track.
Everything to do with Manny Machado because it was him and he's the one that liked the photo. So I think there's look, maybe it means nothing that Manny Machado liked a photo of him in a Yankees uniform. A, because he doesn't dictate the trade, so in that regard, it doesn't mean anything. But
it could be cool.
He has to know that people are going to read into it. That's why it means something. It's like twice removed from the actual story. It means something.
Or he could just be like, you know what? I just like the fact that people are talking about me. Let me just give them more fuel to the fire. Let's throw another log in that campfire.
And I guess to be fair, we're not.
And it might have been a great CGI job, too.
It was, actually. I saw it. It was well done.
So, yeah. So he could be appreciating the skill that it took to make that Photoshop photo.
He just likes fine art.
Yeah. Of himself.
It's also not a secret that he wants out of Baltimore, so I don't think that...
Yeah, exactly.
Who wouldn't want to play for the Yankees? I mean, I know a lot of people hate that team, but come on.
Yeah, if you're a baseball player, you have to relish in the fact... Like,
I mean, you
got to
shave your beard off or whatever, but still.
Not an issue for him. No. There you go.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And it'd be an issue for you, Cody.
Listen, I guess I
can't live my lifelong dream of playing for the Yankees.
Yeah,
darn.
Can't play for the Yankees.
Between a beard and the Yankees, you would choose beard. I can't picture Bear without a beard, could you?
No, I don't know if I can. And he wouldn't be Bear. He'd be Cub.
Well, he'd be Bear, but he'd be spelled differently.
Yeah. How would you spell that? B-E-H-R?
No, no, B-A-R-E, because he wouldn't. Okay. I don't have time to explain logistics to you.
Anywho.
Oh, go ahead. Say what you were going to say, because I've got nine more headlines.
But think about this. Machado, if you put all nine teams and put a Machado picture with him with all those different uniforms, I guarantee he'd like all nine.
Except the Baltimore one.
Except Baltimore's not linked to the trade.
That's true.
They're the trader.
They're on the wrong side of the trade. Okay, so what you're saying is give me a picture of Manny Machado. I will quickly draw a Diamondbacks logo over the front of his jersey.
You got to do good CGI. Remember, we think he's liking this because it was quality photoshopping.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't just loosely strewn and draw the Diamondback logo and Manny Machado's face.
Here's more headlines from the same website. Orioles still seek top young pitching talent for Machado. Yeah, okay, that puts the Diamondbacks back in. It doesn't say healthy young pitching talent.
It just says young talent.
It just says young pitching talent.
And technically they have that.
Brewers, Dodgers, Yankees vying for Machado, and report Red Sox do not have real interest in Machado. So we've come full circle from the first report where they might trade him within division. Now that would just be the Yankees, I guess. I've got more. So Jim Bowden on Twitter yesterday. According to sources, Phillies, in fact, are still in talks with Orioles for Machado. Dodgers, Brewers, Diamondbacks still considered to have best offers on table. First comment back from our own John Gambadoro.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks do not have an offer on the table, have not made an offer to date. And then somebody asked him if they're going to, and he said they're discussing players, but no offer yet. So kind of in line with what we've been saying, if they could pull off a deal for Machado, well, absolutely, why wouldn't you do it? But how realistic is it? And as we were talking earlier in the show, ESPN put out a list, so now it's expanded even more. Machado's top 12 landing spots.
There's nine suitors, but there's 12 landing spots.
12 landing spots. And trying to see at the bottom of the list are some teams, the Astros and Nationals. I mean, I guess you just have to throw them in to get the 12.
Yeah.
Never count either one of them out because they're both World Series contenders. Although for Washington, that would require winning a playoff series, so maybe they're not.
Yeah, and that would require probably Bryce Harper stepping up his batting average.
Above .215.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these other teams, Cubs, Red Sox, Braves, they're all the teams that you have heard. Cardinals, I haven't heard a lot of them. They have them sixth.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I'm still scrolling before I get to the Diamondbacks, okay? So five is the Dodgers.
Technically, it was a descending and not an ascending.
Yes, I'm scrolling up. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a
I'm
point.
I'm scrolling towards number one, most likely landing spot. Dodgers 5, Yankees 4. I think he's going to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks 3rd on this list.
Yeah.
By Bradford Doolittle of ESPN.com. And
of note is the number one would be the best situation non-Diamondback.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he'd go to the American League.
He would go. They have the Indians number one. I mean, you don't want him going to the Brewers, the Dodgers. I don't really care if he goes to the Cardinals. I'm not really that concerned if he goes to the Phillies either. Maybe I should be more
Braves,
worried about
maybe.
That team. Yeah, I mean, I guess if he goes to the Braves or Phillies, he helps them potentially steal a wild card spot from you, and you don't want that.
Well, and all intents and purposes, you want to think that you're above a wild card spot since you did that last year. You want to think that you're actually a leader in the division.
You want to think that? But at this exact moment, you're actually below a wild card spot.
If the season ended today,
the Diamondbacks wouldn't be in
But it doesn't end today, Luke.
It doesn't. But the trade deadline is in 2.5 weeks. And so don't you have to sort of approach it differently if you're five games up into first or if you're fighting for a wild card spot? They're only a half game out of first, too. So it changes instantly if they win tonight.
Yeah.
But if things keep going south here towards the All-Star break and then that series.
Getting out of the break.
That series with Colorado coming out of the All-Star break is huge.
Yeah, that's going to be a big tilt because you went from 6-1 against the Rockies this season to 6-3
now.
6-3. So, yeah, and you have a 3-game series with them. You could literally tie the series up if you don't have a good showing.
Well, and you know, with that being so close to the deadline, if one team could sweep the other, you really make the other team second guess how big of buyers they want to be at the deadline, right? Especially if you're the Diamondbacks and you sweep the Rockies. Like, let's say you are where you are right now and you're 2.5 up on Colorado for second in the NL West, and that's a home series. You sweep them at home, you're up 5.5. You know, they've probably fallen another game or two behind the Dodgers as well. At that point, I think the Rockies have to think long and hard about how much they want to give up for pieces for next year. Or for the stretch run if they have to give up part of their future. I think at that point, you just kind of look around if you're Colorado and you say, we think we can do this with what we have, and if we can, so be it, but we're not going to give anything up. So that's the extra added benefit if you're the Diamondbacks to facing these teams right now. If you beat them this close to the deadline, you can really throw some complications into how they're going to run things. But you got to beat them.
You have to. No, you have to beat them. It's not even a gotta. You have to, and you have to come back, because that's right after the All-Star break, and that's when you start that second half push, and you need a surge, and that's the first competition. So you want to come out looking strong out of the break, because everybody's rested, and you have a full complement at your disposal.
Exactly. No excuses at that point, because your team is as healthy and rested as it's going to be.
Yeah, there's no 16-inning Padre game.
With all the expectations that were placed on the Summer Suns, were we disappointed with how it ended yesterday? Luke Lipinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Summer League for the Suns will wrap up this afternoon after they lost to the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday afternoon. You're in like full DJ mode over there.
I know. I feel like I have ones and twos over here. It's just my board.
You're trying to remix four different pots that don't even do anything.
Yeah, exactly. None of these things mean anything. Like, I do this, it does nothing.
Well, I mean, maybe it does. Maybe it controls like the power downstairs. We don't know.
That is true.
Maybe everybody downstairs is freaking out right now.
Yeah, the first floor is upset with me.
But they don't even know that they're upset with you.
No, they don't.
We're going to get into Summer League here, but I want to throw this out there because we haven't mentioned his name in like 3 days.
Yeah, we should.
Kawhi Leonard, actually we mentioned his name earlier in the show. We haven't mentioned potential destinations.
That is true.
This one threw me off. This is odds shark. So take it.
You can bet on anything.
Well, you can. Apparently. You can bet on anything. And sometimes this is the best way to get an indicator of where somebody might land. I mean, if it's something like this where it is as simple as one person or two people making a decision as opposed to an actual competition, you can just read into this what you will, but the top, let's say top five destinations, this is in reverse order, okay?
Okay.
So of these five, the 76ers are the least likely. That's, I don't understand.
Five.
Yes. I don't understand why the 76ers haven't made this trade yet, but whatever. Four is the Clippers, which he was, I think it was Amino Hassan. I believe it was.
Yeah,
we're
going
to have him on later so we can just ask him. He said that if Kawhi were to end up with the Clippers, that might be somewhere he would actually sign on to play beyond this year. 76ers as well. If they made a trade for him, that might be possible. Lakers, they have third. Spurs, they have second. I don't see that. I understand you have to have them pretty high up there.
Because he could just not move.
That's where he is.
And he can make over $200 million.
That's another decent reason, I guess.
I can find at least 200 million reasons why he should stay.
At least. Even though him and Greg Popovich might strangle each other over the course of the season, PJ Carlissimo and Latrell Sprewell style.
Yeah, that would also be interesting. I'd pay-per-view that one.
But I just read off the four teams that have been most linked to him, and we didn't even get to number one.
Yeah.
So even money in Vegas right now is that he's going to the Raptors.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I could see that move because that would also make Pop happy because he'd move him to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And of the other five teams, only one other Eastern Conference contender, and that's the Sixers. Then everybody else he'd have to see multiple times throughout the year, so he would constantly be haunted by Kawhi. And Kawhi would probably find a way to be healthy against the Spurs, even if he's not healthy.
Even if he really is hurt all season, he comes back for the two games.
He comes he's crutching it all the way in or getting wheelchaired in, Paul Pierce style,
just to take technical foul shots or whatever.
Exactly.
But that was kind of an eye opener because if it's the Raptors. Are you giving up DeMar DeRozan? I don't. Why would you do that?
You can't give up DeMar DeRozan because that's one of the reasons why you are an Eastern contender.
Kind of.
Think about who else is outside of Boston. 76ers is like 2B.
Best
Raptors are 2A.
Team in Canada. I'll give you that.
Only Canadian NBA team.
You know what?
Because the Grizzlies moved out of there.
Yeah, well, because they saw what was going on, and they're like, Toronto's too good. We're going to have to move to Memphis.
We can only leave one team in this whole country.
There's only room in Canada for one NBA team.
Exactly. And like 15 CFL teams.
And Drake is at all of their games somehow.
Drake makes it to everything.
And Wimbledon. Didn't we just see him at Wimbledon? Mm-hmm. Is it possible there's more than one Drake?
There has to be Drake clones. Like Michael Jackson at the Super Bowl. Remember he popped up on all the... the jumbotrons around the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's Drake has taken that, and he's like, I'm going to be at every single Sport. I think he's trying to set a Guinness World Record for most sporting events attended in a calendar year.
I don't know how he ever records music anymore, because if you're at
Wimbledon, does it on the airplane in between. He has a flying studio.
It's pretty ingenious, really.
It's God's plan.
All right, so back to Summer League now for the Suns. They'll get the game against the Spurs. All in all, from what we saw in four games from DeAndre Ayton, I think it's probably what you would expect, a little off in the first game, but he explained why. He said flat out, you know, I was a little bit nervous energy out there. What you saw in the second and third games, a little more encouraging, and then he trailed off yesterday. I mean, I guess maybe we can see him a little bit today. This is what his coach, Igor Kokoschkov, saw from DeAndre Ayton.
He's engaged. He's definitely trying. And we have to learn how to play with a player, the caliber of the player that he is, with the size and length. He's got to be more efficient offensively, definitely set up screens and roll to the basket. It drives so much attention when he sets physical screens and when he rolls to the basket. We have to find a way to make his game easier with easier passes, when he shows a target that we can find him. I mean, our whole tournament, we struggled really taking advantage of his size and deep seals in the lane. I think our guys got to do a better job, and him included. His job is to show better and stronger target, and our guys got to find a better job to they have to do a better job finding those targets.
That's absolutely going to be one of the biggest obstacles for the Suns to overcome, or just aspects of the game for them to work on when this season starts, is finding ways to make sure you get DeAndre Ayton the ball. It's just one college game. I don't want to harp on it, even though it was the biggest meltdown. But that game against Buffalo, they couldn't get him the ball. And so a guy that should have absolutely, if he's going to be dominant in the NBA, should dominate Buffalo University or the University of Buffalo or whatever they are.
However, B-U-U-B.
Yeah, however B-U-U-B. But they couldn't even get him the ball in that game. And look, that's college. There's a billion different reasons why that could have been. But we saw it a couple times in Summer League, too. Yeah. Now, Summer League, we've harped on the fact that there's a lot of the core of the Suns that we're actually going to see this season were playing in Summer League. It's not the whole team, though. Obviously, no Devin Booker, no Brandon Knight, guys that could potentially get him the ball. So
automatic attention grabbers.
Yeah.
So that gives him more one-on-one opportunities. So I agree with you. This is we're making a lot out of a little, but still
he's number one pick, though.
He's the number one overall pick. The attention's on him. And he's being compared to his other draft mates in equal competition.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
That's very well said. A lot of big words there. Kind of big words.
Kind of big words. I didn't go wolf big, but, you know.
We can't.
No, nobody can go wolf
big.
That
would be crazy.
You'd have to actually bring a dictionary in here.
We'd actually just have to bring wolf in here. That's probably the only way to do it.
He is the human dictionary.
Here's more from Kokoschkov.
I don't think he struggled. He was engaged. He was competing, and that's why we're here. So, no complaints. Obviously, his physical, got a size, he's got a rebound with two hands and finish around the basket with authority, and that's something that's going to be adjustment for him.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thinks he struggled. It's just he wasn't dominant. All right, time now for the D-backs' hardest-working player of the series against Colorado.
Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The hardworking player of the series is brought to you by Copper Point Insurance. Get to the point.
All right, I got my answer. Are we going to go with the same answer?
I don't know. Are we?
Okay, count of three. Ready?
Okay, one.
Wait,
two.
On three or after three?
After three.
Okay, one, two, three. Alex
Avila.
I think that was the same name.
That sounded like the same name.
It's got to be Alex Avila. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And you got Cool Mo D. I Go to Work playing in the background. Come on. You didn't even know that. You didn't even know anything about that song. You just thought it was a really cool beat. I know, Luke.
It is a really cool beat. Hold on. We've established off the air. I know my music. It's just
did
not
you
movies.
Know this was Cool Mo D?
I wasn't really paying
did
attention.
You even
I was
know
thinking
the
of Alex Avila.
No, but you heard the music.
When
in the
I when
you
I
just said it was a tight
Alex
beat.
Alex Avila, I hear the sound of somebody saying strikeout. I don't even hear the music. I'm impervious to it. There's a wolf word.
There it is, yeah.
So we're both going with Alex Avila because he pitched two shutout innings on Wednesday night. Now, I mean, hitting-wise, he was 0-for-3, but he's Alex Avila.
Yeah.
He's a pitcher now.
He's a pitcher. I mean, and that's what you need your pitchers to do. Pitchers are not known for batting.
No.
No.
Zach Greinke, maybe. Madison Bumgarner, that's it.
That's about it. You just named two like elite level all-stars.
He's not, Alex Avila is not there as a hitter yet, but as a pitcher.
And he can get there, though.
I doubt we're going to see many pitchers in baseball this year with a lower ERA than 0.00.
Yeah, I don't think he can get any lower.
Hopefully he doesn't have to pitch again tonight. Yeah. Coming up, they bolstered their O-line in the offseason, so then why is it still projected to be one of the worst? Plus, who do we trust in the Diamondbacks' bullpen? We're going to discuss this with Max Starks next. Luke Lipinski in alongside Max for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Oh, yeah. I'm with this. I'm just going to sit here laid back to this nice mellow beat, you know, and drop some smooth lyrics.
You're going a little lighter today.
I know. I went 80s, man. After the Kumo D, I was like, you know what? Give me a little Big Daddy Kane. Ain't no half-stepping.
The offensive line rankings that you were all waiting for on Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
Eagerly anticipating. They are there. But you're the perfect person to have in here because you can actually measure what an offensive line does.
Yeah.
There's a story up on ArizonaSports.com that references a Pro Football Focus list. It's preseason offensive line rankings, and I'll just tell you, Cardinals ranked 27th out of 32.
Appropriate.
You think that's about right?
I think it's about right, considering what last year was for the Cardinals, and it was riddled with pressures and sacks and unglorious performances with big sack total numbers in multiple games. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, your best lineman, DJ Humphreys, was sidelined all but like five games last season.
Yeah.
And A.Q. Shipley was your only guy that was healthy the entire time. Yeah, that's an issue. And you're returning Mike Iupati, who hasn't played a full season, really, except for his first season here. And even then, I think he missed a game. And you signed two injured guys in the offseason.
So, like, Pro Football Focus, a lot of people have issues with how they compile some of their data or how they give up some of these scores. And if
I do too.
Okay, so you're on the list. We talked about this, I believe, last week. There was a list that ESPN did with Pro Football Focus, and they essentially ranked every team just by their starters. So they just went, here's your 11 guys that are going to be in the starting lineup on offense and on defense. And Pro Football Focus had given each player a grade. And so that's how ESPN then compiled the list. But, I mean, you look at that list, what stood out to me instantly, I go to the Cardinals and Patrick Peterson grades out as an average cornerback, and so then I stop paying attention to the list.
Exactly.
But you're saying maybe this not as messed up as that.
Not as far off, if that's safe to say.
So your offensive line, and for what it's worth, Pro Football Focus had them graded out 31st at the end of last season. They started last year at 17th. By this metric, finished last year 31st. Preseason, they have them starting at 27th overall. Right now, it's going DJ Humphreys left to right, DJ Humphreys, Mike Iupati, A.Q. Shipley, Justin Pugh, and Andre Smith. I mean, on paper, if everybody could stay healthy, that, at least to me, looks better than what we had last year.
It looks better. It looks better. I don't know how it's going to translate because, like you said, one guy on that list is the only guy I can point to as a actual full-year starter. Last year on that list.
Yeah.
Everybody else missed multiple games.
This
A.Q. Shipley wasn't exactly a barn burner.
His best attribute was the fact that he was there every day.
Yeah, that was...
Which is a good attribute.
Yeah, consistency.
The more we look at the Cardinals, I just have this fear of injury beyond Sam Bradford. You know, because if you're telling me you have an injury-prone offensive line in front of an injury-prone quarterback and a running back that was injured all of last year. There's not a lot of optimism in there.
There's just Larry Fitzgerald.
But just Larry and A.Q.
Yeah.
Running up and down the field.
Exactly.
I still think if this team could stay relatively healthy, they are a dangerous group. And you can say that about every team. Yeah, that's not true. Hold on.
Yeah, you can't say that about every team.
You can say
Cleveland Browns.
Health is a big factor for every team going into a season, and you can't predict the injuries. But the range for the Cardinals, I don't think it's because we live here and we're close to it. I honestly think they have one of the biggest ranges in the NFL in terms of what they could do with wins. It wouldn't shock me if they won 6 games. It wouldn't shock me if they won 11 games.
It would shock me.
Would it?
They get double-digit wins. They didn't do that the last 2 years with Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
So it would shock me.
There's a lot of unknowns.
There's a lot of unknowns, but they don't still have a starting receiver opposite Larry Fitzgerald that's a tall, stretch the field target. They don't have that. And they still don't have a true tested tight end. Jermaine Gresham's coming off of an Achilles. So you don't have that. You have a great running back in David Johnson, but like you said, he didn't play last year. He's holding out right now. So, and behind him, where's your depth behind David Johnson?
There isn't any.
You have depth at quarterback, but we're unsure of the quality at the quarterback position. And an offensive line. And think about this. Starting five, who's behind them in the starting five?
Not much.
John Wetzel.
John Wetzel's always there.
Yeah.
He's always there.
That's not a good statement right now as it stands when you look at his 2017 campaign.
Let me ask you this, though. With them dropping from 17 to 31 over the course of last year by these rankings, them starting this year at 27, do you see upside here? I mean, is it possible we're looking back at the end of the year and we're saying, hey, the Cardinals, they went on a nice run last year. They probably exceeded expectations, and they did so because the offensive line finished, 15th.
You know what? This is a floor for them. I don't think there's a basement yet. So I'm saying this is probably the lowest they can go. And you look at the teams behind them, Minnesota could easily have a better year. They're at 28. And, Buffalo's right behind them. Seattle, I don't think Seattle's going to be any good offensive line-wise throughout the year. So
they never seem to care about it.
Yeah, they didn't when Tom Cable was there, but now Tom Cable's in Oakland. So who knows? Oakland might take a big slide backwards. But, the Jets and the Texans are just terrible, but they have great offensive talent. I think this is a floor for them. I think they can get better. I think they can crack up there because, right in front of them is the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to struggle this year. The Giants.
I don't like being behind the Bengals.
And the Ravens. I think they could easily leapfrog those guys if they have a solid September.
Okay, fair enough. Did you know you can get the Doug and Wolf Show on demand? Now you'll never miss any of the show, so get the Doug and Wolf Show on demand on the Arizona Sports app, arizonasports.com, or subscribe to the show on the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone. Brought to you this week by Arizona Cold Air. All right, it's at least on the surface a fairly simple question until you actually have to look at the numbers and answer it. But with the bullpen struggling the way it is right now for the Arizona Diamondbacks, let's say we get into a situation tonight, they're up 4-2, they've got a good outing from Zach Godley to get things going against the Braves. You've got the lead, you're in the seventh inning, but Godley's clearly done for the day, and he's you can send him to the All-Star break at that point. Who do you want to give the ball to in the seventh inning with a two-run lead right now?
I want to give I give it to Arch.
Yeah, okay.
I give it to Arch.
Yeah, I would do that.
And I let Boxberger close it out.
But I feel like we're back at the point where we were at the start of the season where you feel pretty confident in Boxberger from what he's done in the past. And obviously he's done it this season for the Diamondbacks. Been really good. Archie Bradley hasn't been quite the same pitcher this year that he was last year, but he's been fine. He's been good. I mean, I think you trust
still
him more
house.
Often than not. Yeah, it's still his house. We established that earlier.
Yeah.
And Yoshi Hirano has, despite the fact that he gave up four runs on Wednesday and he saw his scoreless streak snapped about a few games earlier, I think you still trust him. But beyond that, it's just kind of...
It's a mixed bag there.
Yeah, you're just kind of hoping that somebody can...
You're throwing darts in the dark. After those three.
What we have seen with this team, and I know Torrey Lovello said this when he first came in last year, is that you've got to have pitchers get you seven innings. That was his goal when he first came in.
That's what you got to have. I mean, or at least six and a third. Like, get me solidly into the sixth inning.
Well, seven is the goal.
Yeah, seven is a goal standard.
It's not realistic every night.
Yeah.
But what we are seeing now, because we've seen the starters not be able to go longer than like five for a while, is that the Diamondbacks just don't have the pieces to get you from the fifth to the sixth to then Archie Bradley, Yoshi Hirano, and Brad Boxberger.
Yeah.
And also those three guys can't pitch every game.
No.
So you are definitely, something is missing in that bullpen.
Yeah, you need something. You need a bullpen arm, and I would think a lefty just to change up things, but there's really, you need that go-between guy. And I think it's when you talk about start to finish, you put the dash in between that, you need that dash.
I kind of trust Andrew Chafin. lately.
Yeah, you know what? Chafin hasn't been bad. I think Chafin has done a good job, but I think you still need some support outside of him because, like you said, you can't pitch him every night.
No.
So
they may try.
Yeah, so you need another guy.
What did Amin Hellehassan think of the Summer Suns, and how does he feel about Devin Booker's contract extension? We're going to ask the ESPN front office insider next. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.